Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If you'd like to be a jitterbug, first thing you must do is get a jug.
The jitterbug, the Lindy Hop, whatever you called it, it meant you could swing. I'm John Schaefer, and coming up on Soundcheck, our series on dance crazes continues with the gravity-defying dances of the 1930s and 40s. We'll talk with bandleader Chris Calloway Brooks. He's grandson of the great hoofer and bandleader Cab Calloway. Plus, tracing the origins of popular dances through African-American history. And later, a Canadian DJ, a klezmer clarinetist, and James Brown's trombonist walk into a bar. Nope, no punchline. Just a high-octane blend of klezmer, funk, and hip-hop called Abraham Inc. They'll join us to play live. All of that on Soundcheck after the news. Fooled ya. It's a podcast, so we'll skip the news. But I do want to take a moment to ask you a favor. The crew here at Soundcheck wants to know what you think of the Soundcheck podcast. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Tell us when you listen to it, and maybe even where. You can send us an email at soundcheck@wnyc.org. That's soundcheck@wnyc.org. Okay, back to the show. Well, before the mashed potato and the alligator, there was the jitterbug. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today we continue our series on dance crazes with a look back at the acrobatic moves of the swing era. And we'll learn about the deep African-American roots of many popular dances. Plus, a band that wants to make you dance, Abraham Inc., brings their blend of klezmer, hip-hop, and funk to our studio. But first, if you wanted to find the hottest place to dance in New York City in the 30s, you would have gone up to Harlem, to the Savoy Ballroom. It was the home of the Lindy Hop, a swing dance that was done to the big band jazz of that era. And joining me here in the studio on Soundcheck today is modern-day Lindy Hop instructor and choreographer Paolo Pastellana. Paolo, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
And Chris Calloway Brooks. He is the band leader of the Cab Calloway Orchestra, grandson of the man himself. Hi, Chris.
Heidi, Heidi. Heidi, Heidi. Heidi, Heidi, ho.
Now, let me start with you. Cab Calloway is credited with inventing the term jitterbug.
That's correct. He is credited with inventing the term jitterbug back in the mid-1930s and popularizing the dance as part of his ongoing process of American cultural transformation.
And where do you think he got that term from? What was he referring to when he said jitterbug?
I never really got a chance to talk to him about where he came up with that particular term. But, you know, I think it had something to do with the actual look of the jitterbug. When you're doing the dance, I mean, when folks come to our dance events similar to the one that we're having this Saturday, you'll really see it's quite a spectacle because of all of the kinds of movement that take place.
So was this, I mean, was Prohibition still in effect when he started using the word, or, you know, might we have had some alcohol fueling the dance at this point?
It could have been, but no, I think when did Prohibition end?
33, right?
Yeah, so this would have been right after the end of Prohibition. And interestingly enough, the jitterbug he also describes as a drink.
Hmm.
We're, you know, of course, we're always looking for an alcoholic sponsor, and what you do is you mix whiskey, wine, and gin to create this drink called jitterbug.
Really?
Yes, and if someone has a formula for that, we'd love to check it out.
Ugh. All right. From the 1934 short film Heidi Ho, here you have Cab Calloway using the word jitterbug in a variation of his famous song Minnie the Moocher, and this is Cab playing himself, by the way, along with a fictional Minnie the Moocher, who has just been asked by Cab to freshen his drink.
Okay, Cab, I'll fix your drink for you. But how about singing that song you wrote about me? My song. And sing it like you really meant it. Huh, Cab?
Sure, Minnie, sure. Ratti buburi gizzari la bubba warlori de Muru wuri gizzi bene gizzi da. Minnie's a hep cat now. She's as sharp as the cats allow. Say, she's really up to date when she's togged out in her drape. Minnie's a hep cat now. Oh, there ain't no more Smokey Joe. She's fluffed off his hidey-ho. She's a solid jitterbug when she starts to cut a rug. Oh, Minnie's a hep cat now.
That is Cab Calloway. Even without the band, Chris, your granddad knew how to swing.
That particular song that you should have picked that one. I didn't know that because, I heard him sing it to me in his den, and he told me that in the family vaults there was an orchestration of this song that had never been recorded, and that if I ever had a chance to do it, I should. I did. And you'll get to hear the full orchestration this Saturday at the JCC, as a matter of fact.
Wow. The
authentic
is...
arrangement that goes all the way back to when this particular film was done.
1934, Heidi Ho is the name of that short film.
Yeah.
This Saturday, Heidi Ho, the world-famous Cab Calloway Orchestra, directed by Chris Calloway Brooks, at the JCC, the Jewish Community Center on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Paolo Pastolana... The jitterbug, I mean, Cab Calloway called this dance the jitterbug. Explain to me if we're talking about the same thing as the Lindy Hop, or is it something different?
You really are talking about the same dance, because it was more of a change of name. the evolution, let me just go back to maybe around 1927. That was the year that the Lindy Hop was named.
Uh-huh.
Somebody came into a ballroom, a reporter. He asked one of the dancers, what are you doing? Nobody had a name for it at the time. Shorty Snowden, which was one of the founders of this dance, just blurted out Lindy. We're doing the Lindy.
So this is influence for Charles Lindbergh.
Influence from Charles Lindbergh's great jump across Atlantic.
So what do, I mean, for folks who haven't done the jitterbug or Lindy Hop, what does it look like?
Well... If you see it in its real raw state, it's wild. You know, you're swinging your partner out. You might start in the closed position. You might have your partner, your lady in your arm,
mm-hmm.
and then you take a step forward. You turn and you swing her out into the open.
Mm-hmm.
And if you repeat that pattern over and over, it just looks marvelous, exciting. It's electric. It also has a whirly feel to it. So you're seeing a rotation that often takes place on the dance floor.
And is it does it come out of like the Charleston or some of those
it
dances
does.
Of the
20s? It's a great influence from the Charleston. In fact, the counts are the same. And because it's so similar and grew out of that, we still incorporate the Charleston into the Lindy Hop.
So you're teaching people the Lindy Hop?
When we get a little more advanced, we start to bring those steps into mm-hmm. as well. And it also is a great way to show the history and the evolution of the dance. It's wonderful.
Well, Cab Calloway called it the jitterbug. Duke Ellington called it the Lindy Hop, and in fact named this 1930 song That Lindy Hop.
Come do that Lindy Hop, and you will never stop. I'm telling you that's what the new rage is. You'll fall outrageously, contagious as can be. It makes the old folks laugh at their ages. Watch the way that they go. It puts new life in their shoes. Cures them of lumbago. Lifts them right out of their blues. It's tight that Lindy Hop. Just right that Lindy Hop. That dance will live on history's pages.
Duke Ellington from 1930 in the song That Lindy Hop. We are talking about some of those gravity-defying moves of the swing era, the 1930s and 40s, with Chris Calloway Brooks. He's director of the Cab Calloway Orchestra, grandson of the man himself, and Paolo Pastolana, who's a dance instructor and choreographer. And so just to kind of put a bow on the whole jitterbug slash Lindy Hop thing, Paolo, how does one become the other?
Well, again, I just wanted to clarify that jitterbug, that term, just became more popular in the 1930s. And so that was the term that was used. Cab Calloway certainly used it in describing and calling in the names of his music. And so we use both terms, mm-hmm. and it really does refer to the same dance.
Okay. And where would you go to do this dance in New York back in the 30s?
Oh, well, certainly the Savoy Ballroom. That was the number one. That was the cream of the crop. But there were certainly a number of other dance
Alhambra.
Ballrooms. There
Alhambra
was the Alhambra, was the Renaissance Ballroom.
Yeah.
And
were they integrated?
The Savoy was the only one that was officially integrated, as far as I recall. But, you know, there were always all sorts of unofficial activities taking place during that time period.
Hmm.
Especially also, the Audubon Ballroom was a beautiful one, too.
Yes.
The facade is still there today.
So what were they dancing then? Was it all Lindy Hop / Jitterbug, or were there other dances that were popular as well?
Well, you came into there often with a knowledge of ballroom. The dancers came in there knowing from their history, you know, their parents and their parents' parents who were taught, you know, ballroom dances. So you often saw a mix as well. But, I mean, the one that everybody wanted to do was the Lindy. Once that became popular, it was on fire around the country.
It strikes me, though, that, you know, an older generation, the parents' parents might have looked at the kind of frenetic movement of the jitterbug and thought, oh, that's so distasteful or whatever. You know, was there any of that? I mean,
certainly was. And in fact, that was a big part of the problem that eventually led to the closure of the Savoy Ballroom, which was the great mecca of racially integrated dancing in New York, one of the places where, by its policy, African Americans and European Americans could meet and dance and greet and have a great time together, and there was no problem with it whatsoever. Yeah, a very important aspect of the whole swing culture, the dance, the music, the dress, everything about it is, as I alluded to before, America was really going through the process of discovering its own unique cultural identity. Mm. And swing really epitomized that by bringing together all of these various disparate forces. And it's almost, as Paolo was saying, you know, the dance didn't really even have a specific name. It started happening first, and then
somebody came along and put a name.
Somebody put a label on it that stuck. It just happened to be my grandfather.
You might have heard the jazz standard Stompin' at the Savoy back in those days, actually named after the Savoy Ballroom. Here's the 1934 song recorded by the Chick Webb Orchestra. That is Chick Webb, Stompin' at the Savoy, the Chick Webb Orchestra from 1934, and referring, of course, to the Savoy Ballroom. We're talking about some of those great old dances of the swing era with Chris Calloway Brooks, Cab Calloway Orchestra's director, grandson of Cab Calloway himself, Paolo Pastellana, Lindy Hop dance instructor and choreographer, both with me in the studio. And Chris, your granddad worked a bit at the Savoy before moving on to the Cotton
Club?
Yes,
he was involved in a battle of the bands between two what were called territory bands back then. He led a band called the Alabamians, and they faced off against a band called the Missourians.
And who won?
It was a very short struggle. The Alabamians were demolished by the Missourians. The Alabamians played a more Charleston-oriented style of jazz, and the Missourians were, as you can hear in that Chick Webb cut, moving a little bit closer towards the notion of what we now consider to be swing.
Mm-hmm.
So the Alabamians bombed, but the Alabamians band leader, Cab Calloway, there was something about it. He just caught the eye of the winning band to the degree that they decided to just go ahead and fire their lead singer and hire Cab Calloway on the spot.
To play at the Savoy.
Yes, yes, for a short time, after which he then joined his old pal, Fats Waller, on the tour of Connie's Hot Chocolates. And while he was up in Boston, Irving Mills saw him and said, you know, this guy might be good for this new club I'm opening up down in Harlem called the Cotton Club.
So he's out on the road with, like, what, a song and dance show
yes.
or something?
He, Fats Waller, and my aunt, Blanche Calloway, who many people feel was the actual originator of the Heidi Ho slogan, were touring the country in this all-black production called Connie's Hot Chocolates. And what wound up happening was that Irving Mills saw it and was so taken with it.
Irving Mills was Duke Ellington's manager.
No, he was Cab Calloway's manager, actually. And he
sometimes fooled around
with Duke Ellington.
Yes.
No, I'm just being facetious. Actually, Irving Mills owned 50% of Cab Calloway and 50% of Duke Ellington. That's the way the deal worked back then. It was quite a stiff deal.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It did work out for them, didn't it?
It did. Cab Calloway, you know, huge figure and a long, long career, even after the swing era subsided. Now, how important was dance to Cab Calloway? I mean, the guy's a great singer, band leader. What about the dance?
Unbelievably. If you look at any of the videos, it's a major, major factor. And in fact, some of a lot of his dance moves showed a good deal of his Iroquois cultural heritage. There's a certain tribal shamanistic quality about his movement that I think is rather distinctive.
And in fact, you can see some of that movement. There's a video on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Let's hear a bit of Cab Calloway and his song, The Jitterbug.
If you'd like to be a jitterbug, first thing you must do is get a jug. Put whiskey, wine, and gin within and shake it all up. And then begin, grab a cup and start to toss. You are drinking jitter sauce. Don't you worry, you just mug and then you'll be a jitterbug. Hear this fat boy blowing his horn. He's been a bug since the day he was born. His favorite jitter sauce is rye. Swell, drink it till the day he die. Toot your whistle and ring your bell. Oh, butchie, woochie, time will tell. Don't you worry, you just mug, you'll always be a jitterbug. These four boys playing saxophone, order jitter sauce by phone. Central, give me a holler, 494. I think these bugs can drink some more. They drink sauce some more tonight.
Cab Calloway's Jitterbug. Chris, you were saying before that you haven't found that recipe for the drink known as the Jitterbug. It sounds like your grandfather's given it to you in the course of this song.
Yeah, I think he is. But, you know, the question is whiskey, wine, and gin. Exactly what whiskey,
proportions,
what wine,
yeah,
what gin, yeah. What proportions? Is it iced? Is it not iced? Is it shaken, not stirred?
Your rescue comes soundcheck listener David.
David, thank you
here
so much,
here in Midtown,
David.
Yes, on David. Our webpage. Gives us the following jitterbug drink recipe.
Outstanding.
Club soda, 2 ounces gin, 3 dashes grenadine, 1 finger of Rose's lime juice, 1 ounce of vodka, 3 dashes of sugar syrup, and a pinch of sugar.
No.
Yeah.
Listen to the song, David. Whiskey, wine, and gin within. Shake them all up and then begin.
The program on Saturday night, Heidi Ho, a swing dance extravaganza, starts at 6:30 at the Jewish Community Center on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. The Cab Calloway Orchestra will be led by Chris Calloway Brooks, who's been with me, along with Lindy Hop dance instructor Paolo Pastellana. Paolo, Chris, thank you guys so much for being with us
on
the program.
Thank you so much,
today.
John. We look forward to seeing you all out there.
This is Soundcheck. Up next, we continue our series on dance crazes with a look back, way back, to the African-American roots of popular dance. And then later, a live performance from a group that blends klezmer, hip-hop, and funk. They call themselves Abraham Inc., a supergroup joining us for a live performance later on Soundcheck.
got many.
Yo, hour by hour,
Kid and Play got soul power. We get funky.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. More now in our week-long Dance Craze series. In the background, you're hearing the 90s rap duo Kid and Play, whose video for this song, Gettin' Funky, introduced the world to the funky Charleston. In fact, some people call this dance the Kid and Play. According to professional dancer and historian Thomas DeFrance, this dance, along with the original Charleston and many other popular dances, have roots that stretch through African-American history all the way back to the era of slavery. Joining me now from Duke University is Thomas DeFrance. Tommy, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, thanks.
So, you know, judging by our conversations, we're pretty early in our week of dance crazes, but already the idea that many of these dances are rooted in African-American culture seems to be like a common theme. Can you explain that for us?
Well, sure. I mean, as Americans, we all love music and dance, and we've learned to appreciate sort of Africanist aesthetics inside of music and dance, and especially our popular music and dances that we share across ethnicities and cultural backgrounds in the United States. And these dances really come from these syncretic kinds of combinations of enslaved Africans from different cultures who had to find a way to sort of reinvent their dance and music traditions within the U.S. under slavery.
So were there specific kinds of movements that slave owners would have deemed inappropriate, unacceptable, and others that they were like sort of willing to look the other way?
Well, there's certainly lots of ways to think about histories of African-American dance in the U.S., but one way is to sort of separate out the Christian and sort of religious dances that slave owners were hoping to, evangelize the African-Americans and turn them to Christianity. So,
what would a Christian dance look like?
Well, of course, Christianity has a very vexed relationship to dance. It's an interesting part of the history, but the ring shout, of course, is a really early dance that dates back into, we could probably find evidence even back in the 17th century, but certainly by the 18th century.
And what is that?
This is a dance that happens in the church setting where the dancers, and technically it's not a dance. That's why it's allowed in a church, in the sort of Judeo-Christian church. And this is a sort of motion around in a circle by the congregants. And so long as the feet don't cross, then technically it's not a dance. So we have a lot of roots in the ring shout as a formation, which of course becomes the cipher. We have lots of African-inspired circles of dance. And what's great about the circle for dance is that everyone can see each other and contribute to the dance that happens in the center of the circle.
All right, so the sort of circle things, these kind of shuffling dances, allowed, but somehow the African-American community manages to bring some of their own movements to bear, and you've talked about three specific kinds of dances that have been kind of fundamental. They're in the DNA of most of the popular dances we know. Can you talk us through those three?
I think that's very true. Sure. So I like to think of the categories as buck dances, wing dances, and jigs.
Okay.
And these three categories kind of give us a way to think about how we've organized the body in dance and in relationship to music through a really long history. Buck dances that feature kind of weighted percussive footwork, so very much down into the ground and reaching down through the earth to make weighted sound. Wing dances that focus on flapping gestures and treat the knees or the elbows as the wings and actually allow us to kind of shake a leg, if you will, or move our torso from side to side and flap through space. And then jig dances that emphasize speed and agility, especially in the legs and the feet.
Well, now, the buck dances, let's do that first. You can hear some of those percussive movements that that Tommy was just talking about in this song called Buck Dancer's Choice, performed here by the blues guitarist Taj Mahal.
Thank you.
So the kind of percussive playing the Taj Mahal brings to the guitar, mirroring the percussive, almost slapping motion, Tommy, of the buck dance, right?
That's exactly right. And it's funny because it's impossible to not tap your feet while you're listening to this
exactly,
music.
Exactly, yeah.
As you're tapping your foot, you're tapping against the beat and on the beat and inside of it and outside, and that's the fun of buck dancing. It's creating your own rhythm in the beat.
We're speaking with Thomas DeFrance, professional dancer, writer, dance historian. He's with us from Duke University. And on our webpage, Tommy gives us an example of all three of these kind of basic building blocks of American popular dance, the buck dances, the wing dances, the jigs. So having moved from buck dancing now to wing dancing, where do we see echoes of this in sort of modern American popular dances?
Well, the wing dance is, of course, takes up the most space in our sort of creative vocabulary as dances keep getting generated by generation after generation. So the wing dances become elemental to the Charleston. So whenever you're crossing your knees and crossing your hands or doing something like that, it's very much in the Kid and Play's dance. I always called it the Kid and Play, the Funky Charleston.
The Funky Charleston, yeah.
We even see elements of it in the Dougie. I mean, the wing dances become the butterfly in the 80s and 90s, that dance that went down to the floor that was very much a kind of controversial dance.
Mm-hmm. And poppin', lockin' and poppin' back in the
80s? And even poppin' and lockin', I think so. So that if we're thinking about how we're trying to use the knees and the elbows to kind of demonstrate strength, and we get to the 80s and popping, and the wing dances take on a different valence, but it's the same kind of idea with a lot more strength and power.
And back in the 80s, artists like Afrika Bambaataa were associated with popping, and songs like this one called Looking for the Perfect Beat.
Universal people looking for the perfect beat. All the world nations looking for the perfect beat. Mighty Zulu nation, they have found the perfect beat. I'm Afrika Bambaataa, I possess the perfect beat. Beat, 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 beat.
Looking for the perfect beat.
Searching for the perfect beat.
Hip-hop veteran Afrika Bambaataa looking for the perfect beat. So, Tommy, if you were, you know, popping and locking back in the 80s to music like this, you were, whether you knew it or not, echoing those early wing dances of the 1800s.
I say for sure, for sure.
Okay.
And even listening to this song as I'm tapping my body, it's all coming out of my shoulders and my elbows. So the music kind of tells us what kind of dance it wants and what sort of dance it is.
Again, Thomas DeFrance on the line with us from Duke University. He's a dancer himself. His video is on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. And Tommy, when you did the wing dance, I immediately thought Charleston, but then you went on to say that the Charleston is actually kind of a combination of the wing dance and the jig dance. Now,
I think that's right. So these categories, they're kind of ways to think about it if we like those sort of systems of organization. But then they're all combined and they come together in different ways, and that's how we get different eras of dance. So with the Charleston, you have a wing kind of step happening, but also this sort of speed and agility, which is the characteristic of the jig dance. So it's not the Charleston's not so much into the ground as it is out of the ground, and that's where it's more like a jig category of dancing.
And when you say jig, just to clarify, you don't mean like an Irish jig where it's in a triple time or something?
Well, it's less about the time and more about what the body does in the music. Mm. So, yeah, they're definitely related to Irish steps. So we have lots of African, Irish, British sort of interplay as these very American dance forms are developed mostly by enslaved Africans. But they're looking at jig dances and seeing them, and they become part of the repertory. So it's very much an American kind of syncretization or hybrid, if you will.
And the stride pianist James P. Johnson, his theme song to the Roaring Twenties, The Charleston, coming right out of this combination of wing and jig dances. We've been speaking with Thomas DeFrance from Duke University, dancer, writer, dance historian. Tommy, thanks for being with us on the program today.
My pleasure. Keep dancing.
Up next, enough talking about dancing. Let's get some moving happening here in the studio. The klezmer funk group Abraham Inc. brings their dance party to our studio with a live performance in the Soundcheck studio. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. So, we've done a lot of talking about dancing in our week-long Dance Craze series, but not so much actual dancing. Abraham Inc. is here to change all that. The band bills itself as a, quote, all-out klezmer funk dance party. With klezmer clarinet whiz David Krakauer, keyboardist and DJ So-Called, and trombonist Fred Wesley, who led James Brown's legendary backing band, Abraham Inc. is a kind of supergroup. Though, what kind of supergroup is up for grabs? Here they are with their big band live in our studio to play a funkified version of an old klezmer song called Tweet Tweet.
Thank you. Melodies, rhythms making every granny beat feet. My rhymes go boom, boom, the crowd goes sweet. If each one beat the single, punk does or beat a yingle. Mit my vibe will hop it, sick again. Get then coming to muffin, a home gesucht zu schrumpfen, hot my vibe will mehr in Berge reich. Yo, was hast du so geklicken? In fremde rum sich schnicken, in sei alleine retten zu die Wend, zu die Wend. Nur drei der Bitten vor bei ihr, ist mir Glück gehorn, als Schere, hess ein Trick, nur wenn ich blender will. We're bringing niggas from the street. Get off your seat, stamp your feet. Come on and touch me in the tweet. Yada dim bum bum, yada dim bum bum, yada dim bum bum, yada dim bum bum, yada dim bum bum. Yeah, yada dim bum bum.
Somewhere in there is an old Yiddish song called Tweet Tweet, but that arrangement and live performance comes from the band Abraham Inc., that's I-N-C, which consists of David Krakauer on clarinet, Fred Wesley playing the trombone, so-called doing some Yiddish and English rapping there and playing the keyboards, Freddie Hendricks on trumpet, Brandon Wright on sax, Alan Watsky and Cheryl Bailey playing the electric guitars, Jerome Harris playing the electric bass, Michael Serene behind the drum kit here in the Soundcheck studio. Guys, it's not Passover, it's not Seder, but I have four questions. Number one, why is this band different from all other bands?
Oh, no.
So-called, you want to handle that?
Oh, man, you're funny. Why is this band different? Well, I'm from Canada, so all bands are like this in Canada. Let me tell you. I guess what's different about it for me is just the level of the musicianship in the band is like just mind-boggling. For me, it's such an honor to play with these musicians. Everybody here is really the master of their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's one thing that makes it different. There's many things that make it different. What I love about it is that amazing level. And then just the mix of the people and the experiences, and not just different, you know, we're sort of, there's a great mix of ages, there's a great mix of where people come from geographically, racially, sexually, whatever. Just it's a total mix of it's a cross section of the world, and, mm-hmm. and we're making music together.
And David, where does the name Abraham Inc. come from?
Well, I was actually, we were in the process of putting this band together, and I was down in North Carolina, and I in an African-American church. I was the only non-African-American there, and then the preacher looked at my Jewish face, and he said, you know, we should all remember that Jews and African-Americans stood side by side in the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. and if it wasn't for the seed of Abraham, we wouldn't have our Savior. And I thought, wow, Abraham sort of brings it all together for Jews, for African-Americans, for Muslims, for Christians. You know, it's just like mm-hmm. a great unit. Abraham is a sort of unifying figure.
And the ink, the incorporated part.
It makes it gangster.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of tough. Like, I thought about actually Murder Incorporated, so then Abraham Incorporated.
All right, now, just to say, that was a follow-up question, not one of my original four. Question three, Fred, how did you get roped into this?
Roped into this. That's a good way to put it.
I'm sorry to hear that.
David Krakow gave me a call, and he said that he and SoCal had been discussing putting a band together, and they thought that I would be an integral part of the band. So we got together, and we played some music, and we liked it, and this is how it happened. That's what the incorporated comes
right.
from. You know, we incorporate different styles and different genre of music, and it all comes together to be one major thing, you know, so that's why it's called Abraham Incorporated.
And Fred, having worked so many years with James Brown and then with P-Funk, Parliament Funkadelic, you know your way around dance music.
I'm already incorporated.
And that gets incorporated in a big way. Okay, and then my fourth question is, will you play another song for us?
Absolutely.
And what's this one?
This one is called Moskowitz Remix, and actually there's a little nod to North Carolina, a little introduction called Ms. NC.
All right, let's hear once again the band Abraham Inc. They're playing tomorrow downtown at 92Y Tribeca, the 92nd Street Y's Canal Street space, tomorrow at 8:30, but here they are in a live performance on Soundcheck. We'll be right back. Once again, that is Abraham Inc. live on Soundcheck with a song called Moskowitz or Moskowitz Remix. Which is
Moskowitz
it?
Remix.
Moskowitz
yeah.
Remix. The band is Abraham Inc., and we've talked already about this mix of klezmer. You heard David Krakauer's klezmer clarinet. Hip-hop, you heard the kind of production, although the melodica, so-called, not such a hip-hop instrument.
Oh, it's totally a hip-hop instrument. Yeah, the most. Snoop Dogg is a virtuoso melodicaist.
Okay, if you say so. And funk, as exemplified by Fred Wesley on the trombone, the leader of the JBs, the legendary James Brown backing band. But maybe it's just that we spent the first half of the show talking about the swing era. I heard some of that in the horns, especially towards the beginning of that song.
Well, I would personally say that in putting this song together, so-called brought a beat. And then I wrote some call and response riffs that I think were very influenced by the like 1937-38 Count Basie band. And then Fred brought his comments. He made his comment riffs to my riffs. And so that's how Moskowitz Remix was born.
The 2010 album is called Tweet Tweet, and these songs can be found on that recording. You can also hear the band playing live tomorrow evening at 8:30 downtown here in New York at 92Y Tribeca on Canal Street. David Krakauer, Fred Wesley, and so-called co-wrote that last piece. And in the background, a song called Fred the Tzaddik. Explain what a tzaddik is, David.
A wise person.
And that would be this Fred right here,
that
Mr.
Would be
Wesley?
This Mr. Fred Wesley, yes.
All right, wow. So we'll use that to wrap up. Guys, thank you so much for packing our studio with great funky dance klezmer party music.
Thank
our
you,
pleasure.
John.
The band is Abraham Inc. This is Soundcheck. That's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Tomorrow, we continue our series on dance crazes by heading deep into the mosh pit. And speaking of moshing, we'll also talk with Mike Watt of the punk group Minutemen about his new photo memoir. Also, guitarist Bryce Dessner from the rock band The National tells us about a new festival called Crossing Brooklyn Ferry, and we'll have some of the musicians from that festival playing live. That's tomorrow on Soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn with Margaret Bresnahan. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. We had help today, and lots of it, from George Wellington, David Merrill, and Chris Nolan. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.